So good afternoon. The title of my presentation today is Insecure Communities, and I'm looking at the mental health implications of immigration surveillance under the Secure Communities program. I'd like to acknowledge my two co-authors on this project, Vanessa Cruz-Nichols and Francisco Pedraza. I have no relationships to disclose. Increases in immigration enforcement practices are seen by scholars as being one of the most significant social policy changes in the United States in the 21st century, and they've contributed to 120-year record levels of deportations based on formal orders of removal. This slide shows the rate of removals from the United States from 1900 to 2010, and the denominator in this rate is the immigrant population in the United States. So as you can see, removals have oscillated over time, often contingent upon the economic circumstances in the United States. Also shown in this graph is that since the mid-1990s, there's been a huge spike in the rate of removals in the United States. In 2010, there were 1,017 removals per 100,000 immigrants. To just contextualize that number, if this were a rate for a morbidity or mortality, this would be classified as a public health crisis. So this is clearly something that we need to pay attention to. In the past 10 years, we've seen an increase in focuses on immigration enforcement within the interior regions of the United States. And in fiscal year 2012, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, which is mostly charged with interior immigration efforts, accounted for 42% of the removals in that year alone. So these data really indicate that immigration enforcement is a more proximate stressor in the day-to-day lives of the 11 million undocumented immigrants and their social network members in the United States. I'm part of a recent study that we fielded in which we surveyed Latinos across the country about a number of factors related to immigration policies, and we found that 3 out of 5 Latinos reported knowing someone who is undocumented. So clearly this is a very proximate stressor and pervasive issue for Latinos. I'll join my colleagues in sharing a little bit of information about the Secure Communities program. So local law enforcement agencies are increasingly engaging in immigration enforcement efforts that have historically been the constitutional charge of federal agencies. The Secure Communities program is a deportation program, and it's focused on the interior region of the country. And it's been central to these increases in removals that we've seen over the past 7 years. This program was first piloted in 2008 and involves partnerships between federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies. By 2011, it was expanded to 1,100 jurisdictions, and President Obama mandated that this program be rolled out in every county in the country by 2013. So at that time, more than 3,000 jurisdictions across the country had this program in place. It is separate from border enforcement efforts, and it's intended to promote the removals of persons who are convicted of level 3 or high level offenses. And it's come under great controversy, as several of my colleagues have mentioned here today. In 2014, it was sort of rebranded as the Priority Enforcement Program, so the tentacles of this program are still largely active. The table that I'll present here sorts broad differences in experiences with the immigration enforcement system for the 3 largest racial ethnic groups for which public health data are usually available. As you'll see, whites and blacks are not widely perceived as immigrants, and Latinos are often scrutinized as policy targets of immigration-related policies. And blacks and Latinos are commonly racialized and profiled, and the media largely portrays them as being engaged in criminal-related behavior. So in this table, Latinos really stand out as most likely to be perceived as immigrants and to be perceived as engaged in criminal-related behaviors. So this really points to synergies between discourses and policies and their potential implications for health inequities. Qualitative evidence indicates that restrictive immigration policies and anti-immigrant sentiments are salient sources of threat and anxiety for immigrants, predominantly Latino immigrants. and that this context results in high levels of fear and mistrust of social and political institutions, as well as exploitation based on vulnerabilities constructed by these policies. There have been several studies recently that have examined the implications of state-level restrictive immigration policies for healthcare access and utilization, and have documented declines in healthcare access or utilization following either the passage of these bills or the implementation of these bills. And Patricia Miranda conducted some work looking at the mental health consequences later in the life course of the immigration context when folks migrate to the United States. And she found that Mexican immigrants who migrated to the United States during more favorable contexts had better mental health later in their life course than those who came during periods that were more xenophobic and more toxic towards immigrants. So we build upon this work by considering the mental health implications of immigration surveillance under the Secure Communities Program for a national multi-ethnic sample. And we were interested in understanding the association of immigration surveillance under this program with anxiety and depressive symptoms. And we queried whether these associations varied by social statuses, including race and ethnicity, nativity, and gender. We hypothesized that immigration surveillance would not be associated with depressive symptoms and anxiety for the full sample combined, that is, that it may operate to affect mental well-being for certain groups, but may be obscured when we look at everyone together. We also anticipated that there'd be a positive association of immigration surveillance with mental well-being for Latinos compared to non-Latino whites, so specifically that higher levels of immigration surveillance would be associated with higher levels of depressive symptoms and anxiety. And we left as exploratory questions how these patterns might emerge when looking at racial and ethnic groups by nativity and gender, given that there is a substantial body of qualitative work now documenting implications for the health of Latino immigrants, but less is known about the implications for U.S.-born Latinos, in the literature at least. And we do have evidence now that documents that it is Latino men who are deported at greater rates than women or any other racial or ethnic group. That's not to say that women are not detained or deported or connected with those men who are deported. So this was an exploratory question. The data for this analysis are drawn from two sources. The first is the Health Information National Trends Survey, or HINTS. This is a nationally representative sample of U.S. adults. And the survey is administered at multiple time points, and we looked at surveys administered between October of 2011 to January 2013, just due to the data collection cycle and their fit with the data that we had. And we restricted this analysis to the three largest racial or ethnic groups in that sample, so Latinos, non-Latino blacks, and non-Latino whites. The dependent variable in these analyses was depressive symptoms and anxiety as assessed by the PHQ-4. So this scale asked about the frequency in which respondents reported feeling little interest or pleasure in doing things, feeling down, depressed, or hopeless, nervous, anxious, or on edge, and unable to stop or control worrying. And we included several covariates that accounted for social and economic factors. And these analyses involve multiple linear regression. The independent variable, immigration surveillance, was drawn from data reported by Immigration and Customs Enforcement under the Department of Homeland Security. And our measure of immigration surveillance was the ratio of the cumulative county-level fingerprint submissions reported to ICE through the process that Maria Elena drew out. So when people are arrested and brought back to jail, they're fingerprinted, and now under secure communities, their fingerprints are submitted to a database that's shared with the FBI and immigration-related agencies. So that is that number. And then there's evidence that documents that secure communities was first implemented in counties that had sizable numbers of Latinos, and there's also evidence that it's first implemented in areas with sizable numbers of immigrants, so we accounted for the immigrant population as well. And now I'll transition to sharing some of our preliminary results. So we first looked at the association of immigration surveillance with depressive symptoms and anxiety for the total sample. And we found that there was no association of immigration surveillance with mental well-being, as we hypothesized. We then tested for whether these associations varied by race and ethnicity, and we found that these associations did not vary by race and ethnicity. We then examined whether these associations were contingent upon nativity, so whether someone was born in the United States or outside of the United States, and restricted the samples based on nativity. So among the U.S. born in this sample, there was no main effect of immigration surveillance on mental well-being, but when we looked at interactions by race and ethnicity, we did see a significant difference. That is, U.S. born Latinos, higher levels of immigration surveillance were associated with higher levels of depressive symptoms and anxiety when they were compared to non-Latino whites. And there was no difference in these associations for blacks compared to whites. And when we looked at models restricted to immigrants in this sample, there was again not a main effect of immigration-related surveillance, and there was no difference by race and ethnicity in these associations. And we then looked at patterns by gender. In models restricted to women, there was not a main effect of immigration-related surveillance on depressive symptoms and anxiety, and these associations were not contingent upon race or ethnicity for women. In models restricted to men, there was again no main effect of immigration surveillance, but these findings were dependent upon race and ethnicity. So specifically, for Latino men, when compared to white men, increases in immigration surveillance were associated with higher levels of depressive symptoms and anxiety. So to just synthesize some of these findings, we offered here an empiric test of our hypothesis that Latinos may embody this immigration policy, which is a social policy, and Latinos have largely been targeted by this effort. We find that surveillance is more strongly associated with poor mental health for Latinos when compared to non-Latino whites, but that this finding is specific to a couple of important groups here, so U.S.-born Latinos and Latino men. It may be possible that we also see differences by race and ethnicity within the immigrant group, but that sample size was relatively small even for this large sample. And there are several implications of this work. First, I think I join my colleagues here on the panel today in arguing that immigration policy is health policy, as evidenced by the collective work that we featured here. And these data, as well as the findings that my colleagues presented today, suggest that health inequities may be exacerbated by immigration surveillance, and that there are spillover effects of these policies. So it is not only undocumented immigrants that are affected by these policies, but also their network members and others that are racialized in these categories as well. Thank you.